to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Father Richard Libby, who is the pastor of St. Helena of the True Cross of Jesus. Father Libby, it's always good to see you. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Jesse. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Doing well, and a lot of celebrations last night. Mm-hmm. Of course, the big 4th of July celebration. Now we return to a celebration of a deeper kind here with the gospel for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It is from Matthew. Father, if you would now proclaim that for us.
Certainly. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy, and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The word that jumps out is rest, giving rest, the Lord offering comfort to those who are burdened, and maybe a phrase we've heard before, but something that invites us to dig a little deeper into that. Father, how does the Lord offer that to us, and how do we take that to heart and put that into practice in our daily lives?
Well, the fullness of rest, of course, is going to come in heaven, and so we know that we have our labors and our burdens, to use the gospel's words, during this life. At the end, after all of those things, all of our travails and all like that, we will have rest. And so, and rest is not mere idleness, but it's the kind of rest that, you know, like when you go to sleep at night and you feel refreshed from that, and or when you just have time away from the things that that preoccupy you. And so that is the fullness of rest. Now, how do we experience that in this life? God gives us our Christian Sabbath, if you will. The Sabbath day in the Jewish times meant the seventh day, which is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But today, we as Christians celebrate the Sabbath on the first day, Sunday. Because it's also the day of Jesus' resurrection. So on the day of the resurrection, Jesus proclaimed by his resurrection, by his appearances on the day of the resurrection, he proclaimed the life of the resurrection, the life of eternal rest. He had won that life for us by his passion and death on the cross. And so that's the reason Sunday should be, to the extent possible, a day of rest. And again, not idleness, but leaving our worldly concerns aside, leaving our normal daily occupations aside, we leave those and then we go and we spend some time with God by going to Mass. We spend time with family and friends. We spend time in wholesome recreation, things like that. Those are the ways that we can enjoy a sense of rest even while we're still in this life. I like to give people, when I talk to people about what Sunday should be, for those who are able to do this, it should be like every week we have Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day.
Right.
Okay. Usually there's a big meal involved and gathering with people that we love. And just, again, rest from our normal everyday occupations. They're still going to be there.
They're still they're not going
be
anywhere.
There. That's right. Afterwards. Uh-huh. And we can go back to them. And of course, some people find themselves in situations, because of the nature of their work or any number of other situations where they have to work on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Even in those situations, of course, the church has always held that our work on Sunday, our employment, if it happens on Sunday or on a holy day of obligation, it should not interfere with our mass attendance. So employers are to be diligent about making sure that their employees have the chance to fulfill their obligations.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, too, especially now in the time that we live in, the culture that we find ourselves being a part of, everyone seems to be so distracted, so many things, mm-hmm. even we carry our technology with us. And mm-hmm. and as pastor and as priest and as shepherd of your flock there at St. Helena and to all of us here in the diocese, or can you offer some suggestions on how we can maybe turn those things off and find that kind of peace or that kind of rest that you're describing?
Yes, I mean, that's just this, Jesse. If we spend less time on our electronic gadgets, mm-hmm. we spend less time with that kind of thing, we will find more of a sense of peace and more of a sense of rest. And I'm not going to say that I never use electronic right. gadgets. Obviously, we stay connected with the outside world to some extent. But sometimes just stepping back and putting it away for a while, and I'm not the only one who's saying this. I've heard other people say this. It gives people a real sense of peace, and, right. and it's like a relief. And so even that is akin to what Jesus talks about when he's offering us rest.
Mm-hmm. And we make that effort to take that time, however, it may be a day, an afternoon, mm-hmm. or even a couple of hours to say, I'm not going to answer calls or I'm not going to mm-hmm. be distracted by it mm-hmm. and maybe pick up scripture or, like you said, enjoy time mm-hmm. like a holiday mentality with family right. and friends. I love the idea of having that, of making that a tradition or just mm-hmm. going back to the idea of having a meal together with people that mm-hmm. you are close to on Sunday to bring that sense of a holiday back.
Yes, exactly.
I think it really will help to have people rejuvenate, mm-hmm. relax, recreate, mm-hmm. and to be able to return to their duties that much more refreshed.
Absolutely.
So that's what Jesus is offering us when he's offering us this rest. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that's given. We have to do our part to meet him
yes.
Halfway with that
yes.
to make those efforts.
Yes.
And the other thing that strikes me about this gospel, too, is how he's offering to show wisdom to the little ones. When he uses the term little ones, what does that mean?
Well, we know that Jesus had a great love for children. Mm-hmm. Let the little children come to me. And so those who have raised children in the church or who have educated children in the faith will always be struck by how readily and how eagerly children accept the teachings of the faith. And they say, well, this is what the Bible says. This is what God says, so we have to do it.
Right.
Okay, they are ready to believe it and ready to accept it very readily. And Jesus wants us to keep some of that willingness to believe and willingness to accept throughout our lives, even when we're not so little anymore. St. Therese of Lisieux was famous for that. They called her the little flower. She was childlike without being childish,
right,
what Jesus
right.
Wants us to do. And so she was, you know, she was in a consecrated religious life. She was ready to accept all of the directions that her superior, who actually her superior in the convent was her own natural sister.
Oh, wow.
Okay. although she certainly loved her as her sister, when her sister, you know, was the mother superior, she obeyed her in that way.
Right.
And she was always ready to accept whatever she was told to do. She would accept and even volunteer for the most menial tasks. And she saw herself as doing this to be pleasing to God. Her willingness to obey all of the orders that were given to her, all of the direction that was given to her, she saw that as I said, it was pleasing to God, and she did it because she wanted to make God happy.
Right.
Now, she gives us a beautiful way that we can do the same thing. We can be childlike without being childish. Okay, we're not supposed to be immature. We're supposed to have an appropriate development of our knowledge and of our faith. But God reveals great things to little ones. St. Therese was little in that sense. And Pope John Paul named her a doctor of the church or a teacher of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So by the very way that she approached her religion, the very way that she embraced her littleness before God and her desire to be pleasing to God or her desire to be of service to the other sisters in her convent, she teaches us how to be like that, how to be like the little ones. And if we are like that, if we strive to be like that, then how much more will God reveal the things of heaven and earth, you know, not to the wise and the learned, and as this world sees it, some of them, you know, cannot or will not believe.
Right.
But to the little ones who are ready to accept it. That's that whole idea of just being ready and willing to accept what God teaches us through his church is what Jesus is talking about here. And it has nothing to do with age.
Right.
It can cut across all ages, or it says little ones. Doesn't even have to do with stature necessarily.
Right, right.
But it's an interior disposition of being ready to be a child of God and see God as a Father on whom we depend and whom we try to please.
That's such a beautiful explanation. Thank you for that. We see that word sometimes, and we tend to think of it literally. We say, okay, well, the little ones, but there's so much more to it, which you revealed to us. Thank you for that. The other thing, as you were speaking, kind of reminded me of being childlike, having a sense of wonder.
Yeah, absolutely.
And abandoning cynicism
and
embracing a sense of wonder, allowing yourself to be awed by God and to see the things that that he gives us, the gifts that he presents to us, that maybe if we're so busy or we're so cynical, we don't get a chance to, or we miss them.
Yes.
And we see maybe the beauty in a sunset or just the encounter with someone who genuinely we haven't spoken with in a while, who really is a good friend, and you have a good, meaningful conversation, or just doing something kind for someone without ever expecting anything in return. Mm-hmm. In that sense of being like having a childlike wonder, that is what this is embodying us, or this is what Jesus is asking us to do through being the little ones. Would you say that's something we can carry with us into the week and put that into practice?
Yes, and in fact, I'm gonna bring in the example of another saint. I frequently go to this saint and also Saint Therese, whom I just referred to.
Right.
And that is Saint Francis of Assisi.
Okay.
But we're in a special jubilee year of Saint Francis of Assisi, as proclaimed by Pope Leo. Because this October we will commemorate the 800th anniversary of his death, and that means his birth into heaven. But St. Francis of Assisi, everybody knows about his great love of nature and animals and things like that. What it really was a sense of wonder. I mean, he just looked at the world around him that God created, and he thought, wow, look at this.
Right.
Look at all of this, the sun, the moon, the things that we see every day and all too often take for granted.
Right.
And he relished them. He reveled in them. And so that's what St. Francis teaches us. And sometimes because we're so busy, we don't take the time to enjoy a sunrise or a sunset or to enjoy the beauties of nature or things like that. We think all the things that we're doing today they're so important that they can't wait.
Right.
And sometimes that's a way for us to get refreshed and have a little bit of rest, is just by taking time to enjoy the beauty of the world around us that God created.
And from that childlike wonder, we can gain all that insight, which is beautiful.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Father. Such a beautiful insight there as we are talking about the Gospel of Matthew on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Father Richard Libby, and we are discussing the Gospel of Matthew on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Jesus is offering us rest. He's offering us his yoke, which is lighter than maybe the one we're carrying. Father, what is a yoke? What was, when Jesus uses that term, what does that mean?
In an agricultural society, such as many of the people to whom Jesus was speaking would have known, a yoke is something that is put on the shoulders of beasts of burden. And so you can imagine a farmer in the old days, in the days before electricity or gas-powered instruments or things like that, he would have some large animals like oxen or horses or whatever, who would pull his plow for him. He would hook up his plow to it, and then there'd be a long wooden beam with two notches on it so that he could put one on the shoulders of one beast and the other on the other. So you've got two of them pulling the plow forward for him. So that's what a yoke is. And so the automatic implication is that the yoke, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Okay, first of all, it sounds like, okay, wait, but that's burden. That's something heavy. That's something that we have to carry.
Right.
And so it sounds a little bit as a matter of concern, but the implication is that Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, then whatever burdens we're carrying, we're carrying with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He says, take my yoke upon you. That means Jesus is on one side of the yoke and we're on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not carrying these things without him. We're carrying them along with him. Okay. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Well, he will teach us the virtue of patience, the virtue of endurance, and all of these things that he exemplified so well that we need to master as we're struggling with our own burdens and all like that. So, but yeah, that's what a yoke is, and that's what it means, is we're doing all of this with Jesus.
And in doing that, he's offering something that is maybe less than what we're carrying, some comfort there, and maybe those of us that maybe feel like we're burdened with whatever it is mm-hmm. that we're carrying, an opportunity for us to unburden ourselves with him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've got the gift of your priesthood and the many who are priests who, of course, are available to speak with people if they need to mm-hmm. unburden themselves, the gift of course, of the sacrament of confession, reconciliation mm-hmm. as well. But these are some ways we can unburden ourselves. Maybe expand a little bit on that.
Well, all of that is certainly true. We are meant to be in a community, a community of faith. And so we never have to feel like we're carrying any burden alone. And sometimes when we're carrying the burden of our own sins and our own failings and all like that, taking that to confession is a great way to leave that burden there at the foot of the cross and, you know, get up without that burden anymore, not have it, and be able to continue without it. So that is certainly worth mentioning. But there's something else that I think we need to understand. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," in this sense, Jesus is telling us we're never going to be completely free from burdens in this life. We're never going to be completely free from them. I mean, we can be free from the burdens of our sins after we confess them, obviously.
Right.
But I think what Jesus is saying here is he's just reminding us we're in this together. And so take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden light. And that sounds a little strange when we consider what Jesus endured mm-hmm. for us. But why would his yoke be easy? Well, here's what it gets down to. Jesus loves each of us far beyond what we can understand. He wants us to return his love. And if we return his love, then we will take the yoke upon we will take his yoke upon us because he wants us to do so. And we will find that easier and lighter because we're doing with Jesus and because we're with someone that we love. Just like I said a little while ago about St. Therese, she took great joy in doing things that she thought were pleasing to the Father, mm-hmm. even when they weren't easy, okay? Doing the menial tasks and everything like that. So this is what Jesus is inviting us to. We'll never be completely free from the various burdens of this life, but if we see ourselves as walking through this life with him, that just and loving him as we're supposed to love him, then that will make our burden easier. That will make the yoke easier because we'll be doing it with someone that we love.
And we grow in, as you said earlier, patience, mm-hmm. Persistence, fortitude. Right. Those are all fruits of that journey, as opposed to complaining, saying, "I have to do this," or maybe begrudgingly accepting of those duties. Instead, as you said, offer them up, maybe a form of prayer. Mm-hmm. We offer them up to the Lord, and we say, "I will take this. I will do this that I don't really want to do, but I will offer it up." And if you keep him in mind, he becomes less of a burden. And that's what Jesus is referring to when he says that my yoke will be lighter because you'll be walking with him.
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly it. I mean, imagine at the Last Supper, the Apostle John, who we know he was particularly close to Jesus, he was right next to Jesus at the Last Supper, leaning his head up against Jesus. That's how close they were. Okay, the apostles did not quite yet understand what was going to happen in the next few hours.
Right.
But do you think John felt like anything was a burden that night? How could he have when he was with Jesus? That John had a very pure heart, and he was able to love Jesus with the fullness of that heart. And so Jesus wants us to be like John in that sense. John almost certainly was younger than some of the apostles. His brother James apparently was older, was also an apostle. So John may have been a little bit younger. He lived longer than the other apostles, which is another clue that he might have been younger.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine somebody coming to Jesus, young and idealistic and with a heart ready to love. Well, we can all do some work to make ourselves more like John in that sense. But part of the reason that John was able to love Jesus so well was because he stayed so close to him. And even when Jesus was on the cross, John was the one who was there.
Right.
That's how much he loved him. And so we want to make sure that we love that way, and that then our burdens become lighter.
Right. And where you find a way of carrying them with grace and not being so...
We want to walk with Jesus at that point. Okay, if we love him the way we're supposed to love him, we want to walk with him. And as you said, no, we're not complaining. We want to walk with him. We could say, a simple prayer like, okay, Lord, I accept this as coming from you for my salvation. Okay, even if it's a hardship, I accept this, Lord, as coming from you for my salvation. I think Jesus would find a prayer like that to be very pleasing.
And also the other thing that strikes me is I know I'm like this, and people that I'm acquaintances with know as well. They tend to think, well, I want everything to be as stress-free as possible. Yeah, but that's not realistic. Mm-mm. And when Jesus gives us challenges, there are opportunities to meet him, like we're saying here today, and he'll walk with us,
yes,
as opposed to feeling like I'm so overwhelmed, mm-hmm. I'm going to allow myself to become negative or mm-hmm. to be overwhelmed by stress and maybe take it out on somebody else. And then then it has like a domino effect of just negative energy, mm-hmm. as opposed to what you're saying, which is really something so beautiful, which I'd never really thought of before, where the yoke is light because of him. Mm-hmm. And he's walking with us through all of those things, even if we're nervous or anxious about whatever it is we're doing, or we don't want to do it. Still, we take that attitude, this new attitude, which you're offering us today, and having that burden lightened is because of him, mm-hmm. not because he's far away from us, but he's right there with us,
right.
Which is such a beautiful moment that, again, a lot of people miss because they're too distracted. But by turning things off and by focusing on this is giving us a beautiful way to reconnect with mm-hmm. the Lord, and also to maybe avoid a lot of anxiety, avoid a lot of things that maybe make us anxious,
yes,
in our week.
Yes. When you ask God for patience, he gives you trials.
Right. Okay.
Okay. He doesn't just snap his fingers and say, okay, you're patient.
Right.
No, you have to prove it. And in fact, you have to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be formed into patience. Okay. And I'm certainly not saying this because I've done it perfectly yet, but I'm a work in progress, as we all are.
Right.
But I think we would all like to be more patient, most of us, I would hope. And learning that from Jesus is the perfect way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, all right, Lord, give me patience. And he's going to say, okay, now take that prayer, Lord, give me patience, and then take this prayer, this what Jesus is saying here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me,
mm-hmm.
okay, for I am meek and humble of heart. So we have to learn how to be meek and humble of heart from Jesus. And we do that by walking with him, okay? And then we want patience, we're going to get trials. Okay, imagine how we would all deal with trials differently if we would bear in our minds the entire time, okay, Jesus is right next to me right now. So what do I want to say here? Do I want to say something that's pleasing to him? Or, that might help us to approach some of these trials a little differently.
And seeing every one of them, as you said, is an opportunity to grow, mm-hmm. to be stronger, mm-hmm. to deepen our faith. And whatever virtue we're working on, patience, right. fortitude, whatever they may be, they're beautiful things to take into the week and practical things that no matter how much further we go on into time away from this gospel, 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time will remind us of this beautiful relationship that God always is at the ready to offer us through Jesus, him walking with us as he guides us through whatever trials may face us. That's such a beautiful thought, Father. Thank you so much for that.
Of course.
If you would now end our program with a prayer and a blessing, Father.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Heavenly Father, your Son promised rest to those who are laboring, who labor and who are burdened. He promised that those of us who take his yoke upon us will find rest for ourselves. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. We ask you to help us to recognize his presence in our lives, his willingness to be with us. And may we perform all of our actions and say all of our words and everything we do. May we do all of it out of a desire to please you through him, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.